The scripture reading you will find this afternoon in the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the well-known Psalm 23. And in the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 7 to 18. Psalm 23, and the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Verse 7 to 18. Maybe we'll read God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But an hireling, he who has not the, is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This far the reading of God's word. Congregation, there was a 19th century preacher, the prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon, who commented once on Psalm 23, and I paraphrase, David has left no sweeter psalm than this short 23rd. It is a moment of the opening of his soul, but As one is walking in the winter street and sees a door open for someone to enter, it is as a warm light streaming in his soul. My hope and prayer is that this winter day, this psalm is open for you and may stream warmly in your soul. Psalm 23 is a well-known psalm. Many know this psalm and by its entirety or in part by heart. Psalm 23 is a well-liked psalm, sometimes particularly at funerals, although it originates from an Anglican tradition, as this psalm was included in the Book of Common Prayer to be used at burials. And Psalm 23 is also a well-assuring word of comfort. Comfort, for example, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And yet, I think this metaphor that is used in this psalm might be at times very distant in the world in which we live. And the metaphor that speaks of a shepherd, of green pastures, of still waters, makes the picture of a pastoral setting, an image of a sweeping countryside, of a shepherd and grazing and gentle sheep. Sometimes so very distant and strange from the world in which we live. A world of social media, a world of 24/7 connectedness. And yet these well-known, these well-liked and well-assuring words of Scripture as we find it in Psalm 23 come to us this afternoon, to you and me. Come to us not in a green pastured countryside, but in the midst of winter. Come to us maybe not sitting beside still waters in your life, but come to us in the busyness of our lives, a life with maybe cares and concerns, maybe that you haven't brought into church this afternoon, and young people, God knows what is going on in your life. But precisely, and therefore, because He, the Lord, is acquainted with your circumstances, is He knows you, He's concerned with you, He cares for you as a shepherd for His sheep. And He comes to you and me this afternoon with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or in the original, in the Hebrew, only two words, "The Lord, my shepherd." And on these two well-known words, I want to meditate with you with the help of the Lord and the leading of His Spirit, and will show you from this psalm why Christ is your, can be your shepherd. The psalmist begins this well-known psalm with "the Lord." A psalm ascribed to David the shepherd, who was acquainted with the shepherd's life, going through the heat of the day and the cold of the night, and walking miles and miles and tiresome and thirsty. A shepherd in the land of Canaan with its valleys, with its dry deserts, with its lack of water at times. David, the king, who most likely composed this psalm at the end of his life, looking back. But it is placed in the first part of the book of Psalms in this section. Psalms 1 to 41 in the first section of the book of Psalms. And the psalmist begins, "The Lord is." The Lord. That is his beginning. For the psalmist, the Lord is first, the Lord is foundational, and the Lord is firm. The Lord is first in his life, in the midst of his life that is in need of leading and refreshment, of restoration and renewal, is in need of comfort and care, a life that, as the psalmist attests, in the presence of his enemies, that longs for rest. But in the midst of all of this, the psalmist begins with the Lord. He is the first in his life. It's also for you. Whatever goes on in your life, whatever the circumstances, do you and I begin with the Lord? Begin the day with Him, begin your prayer with Him, decisions that needs to be taken, maybe also for this new year that lies before us, but it begins with Him, the Lord. The Lord is just the first in David's life. the Lord is also foundational in his life. Eh? Throughout the entire psalm, the psalmist testifies of it. The Lord, my shepherd, the Lord, he makes me to lie down. He leads me. He restores. His name. He is with me. His rod. His staff. He prepares. He anoints. In everything, David knows and makes known, testify, the only foundation in his life is the Lord. The Lord is so foundational in his life that the psalmist cannot see it in another way, but all that happens in his life, how he is led through life, at times that he is restored, that he does not go through life alone. It is the Lord. And so foundational, congregation, that at the time in the life of the psalmist that he writes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I am in the presence of enemies, but the Lord. That is his testimony and trust. The Lord, not only in times of prosperity and blessings, but when you walk. Yeah, there are times, and God's people can attest to that, that you walk through a valley of life. That you go through times of shadows in your life. Or even through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkness of life. When you go over the earth, with enemies maybe present inside and outside, accusers, adversaries. David, for example, in Psalm 31, he has the test. I was reproached among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I am forgotten. I am like a broken vessel. Fear was on every side. It's possible. What is then your only foundation? Just on your only foundation in life. For David, it was the Lord. He makes me to lie down, gives rest in the midst of all my unrest. He leads me beside still waters, renews and refreshes me on the way when I'm weary and have no strength to continue. He restores my soul. And the Lord brings back my soul. But he, it's undeserved grace. The Lord, and he alone, brings back, revives, restores. So the Lord is first in his life, the Lord is foundational in his life, and the Lord is firm in his life. Because, congregation, the word that is used here in Scripture, and in some translations the word is rendered with capital letters, Lord, L-O-R-D, which points to the original word, the Hebrew word Yahweh, points to the ever-faithful and everlasting God of the covenant. The covenant that speaks, which the Lord speaks in his word, I will establish a covenant with you, an everlasting covenant, a covenant of peace, a covenant where the Lord says, I am your God. And of that covenant, the Lord has promised in his word, I will remember my covenant. For the people that so often forget the covenant and the Lord. Of which the Lord said, I maintain my love, says the Lord to his people. I will keep my love to him forever, and my covenant will never fail. My mercy will I keep with him forevermore, and my covenant stand fast. My faithfulness, says the Lord in his word, and my mercy shall be with him. Lord, the ever faithful, everlasting God of the covenant. And of that covenant, Christ is the mediator, and therefore it is a covenant of priests, and therefore it is an everlasting covenant. Not because of us, but because of Christ. And therefore, also this afternoon, there is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness, firm because of this covenant-keeping God. Despite our wanderings and waverings in our life. And therefore, the hope of this psalmist is outside himself. Outside himself. In the Lord, in Christ, in him alone, who alone redeems, restores, and renews. The Lord, so begins the psalmist, this firm in his life, this foundational in his life, he is the first. The congregation, that is a wonder. That is a wonder. If you start to realize that the psalmist begins with the Lord. Because that wonder increases when you continue to read this first verse of the psalm. The Lord is my. David. Now, first of all, for himself, the psalmist is last. The Lord is first, he is last. And in himself, and by himself, the psalmist is lost. And we live, of course, in a time that commonly begins every sentence, I, and me, and my. But not so for David. In this Psalm 23, the Lord first, and who he is, and then I. Eh? For example, verse 1, I shall not want, I shall lack nothing. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Verse 6, I will dwell in the Lord, in the house of the Lord, forever. Do you hear that the psalmist does not begin immediately to bring all his needs and his wants, his prayers and petitions before the Lord first? No, David begins with the Lord and who he is and what he does. For me, writes David, he leads me and you are with me and you prepare a table before me. And then the contrast, this faithful Jehovah, this faithful God and me. The psalmist does not only show here who the Lord is and what the Lord does, but who David is. Not only that he is for himself the last, but also by nature that he is lost. Does not the psalmist testify, for example, Psalm 51, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin from the beginning. That's the experience for David. Does the psalmist not cry out, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me, sin ongoing. Unfaithful. Do you see the contrasting wonder? The contrasting wonder? The Lord, the covenant-keeping God, the only one, long-suffering, very patient, slow to anger, of great mercy, rich, merciful in love, forgiving your sin and me. When you see yourself as you really are, and that you have to say at times, do you know that? Lord, if you would mark my iniquities, my sin, Lord, who shall stand? David attests, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Can be. And yet in Psalm 23 he speaks, I fear no evil, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he speaks of God's goodness and mercy. Congregation, how is that possible? That enormous divide between the Lord and him. Well, congregation, on the one hand, it was also David who cried out in the foregoing psalm, Psalm 22, my God, why has you forsaken me? That he had to attest, my strength is dried up, trouble is near, and there is none to help. But let us go a little deeper. Why then can the psalmist speak of mercy and goodness? Why can he speak with so much liberty who the Lord is, a faithful, covenant-keeping God? And that he can attest in his life what the Lord does in his life. Congregation, there's only one answer. And it points to Christ, the true shepherd. Who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know why? So that you are never forsaken by him. And that you might be accepted of God. Christ, who in the deepest sense experienced as no one experienced, for there is none to help, so that you may experience, for you are with me. Christ, whose strength was dried up at Calvary's cross, so that your soul might be restored, refreshed at still waters, the waters of the gospel. Christ is the great, the gracious, and the good shepherd. And therefore the psalmist can begin and can say, the Lord is my, because of that only shepherd, Christ. As we have read of the gospel according to John in chapter 10, where Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for what he has done for his sheep, for his wandering sheep, for his fearful sheep, for his wavering sheep at times. He gave his life, lay down his life on the cross for sinners like you and me. And he took the wrath of God, the wrath and judgment we deserved. But instead, he lays down his life and gave his life. This good shepherd who lays down and gave his life and died so that we may live. This good shepherd, also today, also in 2017, who searches and seeks for his sheep. Which the prophet Ezekiel writes so clear who this good shepherd is. Behold, says the prophet, the word of the Lord, says the Lord, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them on the mountains. I will feed them on a good pasture. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. You see the parallel with Psalm 23. And I will seek that which was lost. And I will bring again which was driven away. And I will bind that which was broken. And I will strengthen that which was sick. Do you see how good shepherd Christ is, that he seeks lost ones, that he brings back that was driven away, that he binds up that is broken, and that he will strengthen you. What a gracious shepherd he is, despite who the sheep is, and whatever their condition, and whatever their situation, And wherever they are in life, it does not hinder Christ. He searches for them. He seeks them out. He will deliver. He will feed them. And he will cause them to lay down. And what more, congregation, what a gospel, eh? What a gospel. This shepherd Christ proclaims, I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that was driven away, and I will bind up. May I ask you in the beginning of this year, what is now your hope? What is now your hope for this year? Do you still have any expectations of yourself? No reason to flee to Christ? As your only, your first and your firm hope. Oh, congregation, take refuge in this good and gracious shepherd, Christ. He is a good shepherd. He attests of it. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I, says Christ, know my sheep. I know all things, also your cares and concerns. And everything that you have brought this afternoon into church. And maybe challenges for this new week. But Christ said, I know my sheep. He's a gracious, gracious shepherd. Gracious in taking real, genuine interest in his children. He truly has compassion. He is moved with compassion. Does not the gospel attest to it? When Christ saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. They were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. And so Christ, this gracious shepherd, this good shepherd, the king of his church, when he sees you as congregation, having no pastor, he is moved with compassion, as sheep having no shepherd. Look to Christ. Christ who longs to gather his people to himself. As he stood for Jerusalem once, and he stands before you this afternoon and pleads, Jerusalem, Mitchell, Mitchell, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? Or must he say this afternoon, but you are not willing? Christ, this gracious shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. He goes before them. Do you see his care? He's calling you this afternoon. He's leading. Though precisely then, when you go to the valleys of life, and he's going before you, also in 2017. And he gives grace to agree with his ways. Grace that you may submit to his ways. Grace that you may marvel at his ways. Grace that you will follow him. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When was it the last time that you heard the voice of the shepherd of Christ? When you will hear his voice again and anew and see this gracious shepherd Christ for the first time or anew, that his grace humbles you, that you may testify, 'tis grace that has brought me saved thus far. This gracious shepherding will also lead me home. And finally, this good and gracious shepherd is the great shepherd. Christ, the good shepherd who obtains salvation for his people by laying down his life for his sheep. Of as the Apostle John also attests, we have an advocate by the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation, that is an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Christ is the gracious shepherd, who not only obtained, but also applied salvation as the living Savior and shepherd, who continues to provide rest for the weary ones, and restores and renews and revives also on backsliding people. He is also the great shepherd. Of which the apostle writes in the Hebrews, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." To bring him the glory. Of which the apostle Peter writes, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away." The Lord is my shepherd. And at times, what I said in the beginning, it seems so distant and sometimes so strange in the time in which we live. 24/7 internet and social media and our life that has many cares and sometimes and many concerns and the business of life. But yet to see this winter day in wonder and amazement, the Lord, first and foremost, is my. Sinner saved by grace, by this Christ, this shepherd. Not a CEO or a chief operating officer or a manager, but a shepherd. A shepherd who knows me, who provides for me, who restores me, who guides me, who protects me, who comforts me. And that gives the psalmist so much credit to the Lord and so much confidence in the Lord that he says, and maybe you have already joined him in amazement, when we are reminded this afternoon who Christ is, that great, gracious and good shepherd, is a wonder of grace, is my shepherd, that you begin to say and to sing, "My cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the life of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.